ago. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but Doug's real name is actually Steve. And I was not aware of that. So we booked the tickets under Doug. And it turns out airports are actually fairly picky about your name matching your passport. So we got into Philly. I got through security, and Diane, we had the whole youth group through security. I walked up, and Diane's like, yeah, Doug went back to the front. Like, you mean like back to security? It's like the hour, the flight's leaving in an hour. She's like, no, he had to go out because they wouldn't accept his ticket. So I called Doug. He's like, no, they're not gonna let me in. All right, I guess Doug's staying home. We got it changed and canceled the other ones and got new ones, and Doug was along the trip, and his nickname was Steve for the rest of the time because of that. So, no, I'm really glad to be back. I enjoy being responsible for only two people the rest of this week rather than 35. That was a great change from having all you guys were. They were wonderful. Don't get me wrong. It was a really good experience, but it was a lot of kids. So, I'm really glad to be back. I don't know. I'm guessing some of them are glad and some of them are missing it, but we had a really good time. I'm going to talk a little bit about our training period, which was in the UK and just about an hour away from London, and then I'll have Minnie talk about what we did in Albania. And one of the things they really, because Albania has a language barrier, they speak Albanian, we obviously speak English, so we had to speak through a lot of translators, and one of the things that in the UK they really hammered us on was how to speak through a translator. So I'm going to pick on Scott, and I'm going to make him translate for me. So we can kind of demonstrate. Yeah, you can just go up now. I think I have a mic for you. So you're supposed to speak in like shorter sentences, use more like simple words, and not like go run on too long in a thought. So you can just start translating.
Okay.
Is it running?
Yo creo que sí.
So the first day we got there,
la primera día que llegamos,
we did a touring day in London.
Fuimos a visitar a London.
So we got there in the morning, and then we were in London till pretty late that evening.
Llegamos en la mañana y quedábamos todo el día.
So we were dealing with jet lag, and I was really tired. The next morning, see, it's harder than it sounds. Yeah.
Pues, estamos muy cansados y el mañana.
The next morning, we started training right at 8 o'clock.
Empezamos a entrenar el 8 en la mañana.
And there was 3 days of intensive training after that.
Y fue como 3 o 4 días de entrenar.
Can you translate that? So YWAM has an emphasis on training.
El YWAM tiene un emphasis en entrenar.
So we spent almost as long training as actually in ministry.
Y quedamos casi entrenando el mismo tiempo que en ministerio.
We had there was a lot of different speakers.
Fue mucho diferente personas hablando.
And they covered topics like hearing from the Lord.
Y hablaron acerca de escuchando de Dios.
And evangelism.
Evangelio.
And what we'll be doing, what we would be doing in Albania.
Y el trabajo en Albania.
So because we were going to be doing a lot of evangelism.
Entonces si estamos estudiando mucho evangelio.
We learned different tools that we could use in Albania.
Aprendimos diferentes maneras de evangelizar.
So I have there's a 5-minute video about the time in the UK in Harpenden.
Y ahora tenemos un video de tiempo. Oh yeah.
And then after that, Mindy will talk about what we did in Albania.
Después Mindy va a hablar acerca que hacemos.
Let's give Scott a hand for him.
So this morning we had our first session, and Lord,
Well, they're getting that figured out, if they're getting it figured out. So we got a good team. I forgot, thank you, Janessa, to talk about the theme, which was really impactful. They prayed about it a lot and had a theme for us when we got there in the training camp. And that was, they said it like 9 months before we got there. And the theme was uncertain. And it was how the Lord's our anchor in times of uncertainty and times of trial. And it was just a very... It was definitely a God thing that was a theme. It meshed well with what a lot of the people were going, like the youth group I was going through. You know, I think everyone's aware there's a lot of hardships this year for a lot of different people in the youth group. And so going into it with that being the theme, we just were really amazed that it was so timely. And they kind of carried that all the way through the whole time, just looking at how the Lord's our anchor in those times. We good? Sweet.
Missions is God focused, and reading the Bible is God focused, and like for me, so
So this morning we had our first session, and Laura kind of talked to us about what it means to be mission-minded. It was really, really good. She gave us like a lot of different challenges on how we want to really step out and like what are we living for, who are we living for, and how we're still living in the story of Jesus.
Probably the biggest thing that stood out to me was this is my own words, but missions is God-focused, and reading the Bible is God-focused, and like for me, so often I can be like, me, this is how I feel, I want to read the Bible so I be a good Christian, like, and I forget to focus on God. So like it was really a challenge for me to be like, okay, Beth, this is about God. When you go home, you're going to work, yeah, you're making money, but you're going to do it for God, and like, so it's all God-focused.
Outside, and everybody shared a fear and an expectation they have for the trip, and it was so cool just seeing everybody kind of like step out and be vulnerable,
that we can build each other up in our Christian walks, and that we can just feel comfortable being like, can I pray for you, how are you doing, and that we'll just come together even though we're like 40 people, that we can feel like tight as a small group.
Afternoon, we did a bunch of team building exercises. We took our big group and split them up to smaller groups, and we ran around to different stations that really focus on team building exercises, whether that was from like being blindfolded and having your team guide you to being on giant steps and trying to like work with the team to get past a post. It was really important for our group to do this, to focus on team building, because as we go on outreach next week to Albania, it's going to really help us work together better and help us ministry to the team there better, and just help us like get along better and just be there for each other when we need it, and also just lend a helping hand to each other. It was a lot of fun, and I hope to do it again sometime.
Tonight, heard about Jesus as our foundation and our anchor, and Carl shared about that, and it was really good for me to think back on my life and what's formed my foundation, and you know, Jesus as my anchor, and throughout my life, Jesus has been building that foundation. So.
This morning I've been teaching on evangelism and seven principles of how we can engage with God, how we can discover who we are in Christ, and then out of that be able to talk to people about Him in a really natural and simple way. So the second half of this morning, we did a workshop. We made it really practical. We broke down the different elements of our communication. We looked at timing. We looked at when we share our own story, what are the elements of the story that we need to get across? How can we communicate to people that we are changed by what God has done in our lives.
I've been freshly challenged to integrate Jesus into my everyday thoughts and actions so that I'm ready to give an answer and why I have joy on my face and who I am.
So my hope from this morning's teaching is that whether you are on this Mission Adventures team going to Albania or you're watching this from your home, wherever you are, that you would learn the joy of the Lord is your strength.
So over the last 4 days, we've spent a lot of time focusing on different aspects of what it means to be missional and live a missional life. We've looked at cultural diversity and how God perhaps works differently in different places, how we need to package the gospel in a different way. We've looked at things like hearing God's voice, spiritual discernment, how to be aware of what God's doing.
One thing that I took out of all these sessions is that if your main intention is to serve Christ, then you are doing it to the best of your abilities, and that's insane.
If there would be one thing that I would love to take away from this week, is that God loves to use our story. It doesn't matter what the choices you made in your past, He uses those in your story, and He will use them for His honor and glory.
So one thing that really stuck out to me this entire session, and all the sessions really, was that we are here to serve God. We're not here to serve ourselves. We don't do missions for ourselves. We do it for other people.
My desire for this team is that they'll go to Albania with an understanding that God is already at work, be listening to His voice so they can see how they can partner with Him in the story that is already unfolding there. This is faith in action.
So that was like a really quick overview of our time in Harpenden. It was incredible beyond words. And now we're just going to do a quick slideshow of our time in Albania. There's so many pictures that we could show you.
And how I'm many pictures?
So many. That I'm sure any one of the youth, once we have them all shared, we would love to sit down and show you all the pictures we have. But this is just a really quick rundown so we can give you a quick overview of where we were staying, a little bit of what we were doing, and stuff like that. So this was probably one of the first things we saw when we got off the bus to the base in Durres. They were super welcoming. All the Albanians are very, very open, very friendly. They love having visitors. And so, yeah, it was very, very welcoming to come home to. This is a view like walking out of the base. We walked this probably 5 times a day. So the main religion in Albania is Muslim. So this is one of the mosques that we saw while we were there. They were everywhere, and they would put 5 times a day, they would have the call to prayer over the loudspeakers. So we would hear that, and often we would just take a minute and like pray, like against that walking in the opposite spirit. So yeah, but that was a very powerful presence that we felt while we were there. We had excellent food. Weston is basically our mascot. This is Alket. He and his wife Alma are Albanian natives. They were our hosts at the base in Durres. Then one day a group of girls went to a women's ministry. This was the seniors' women's ministry. And then another day there was another group of girls that went to a different one. We did a service for them. This is a group of us that went to a children's hospital. The ones in costumes, obviously, and some of the others went in and got to talk with the kids and pray with the kids. And then there was a group of us as well that stayed outside and prayer walked around the hospital. And we got to talk with people that were outside the hospital. So most of them had a family member or a friend that was in the hospital, and we got the chance to pray with them, and oftentimes the conversations went to the Lord, and So that was really good. This is Alquette again. He would always jump up on a chair and then everybody would be quiet real quick. So beach evangelism, we handed out, I think, 3,000 Bibles while we were there. Correct me if I'm wrong. So in the evenings, we would go out on the beach and spend time just talking to people, blessing people. There's a couple more pictures here. We had some training in Harpenden for doing balloon animals and face painting, so we had practiced that some before we left and got to do that just out on the beach with the kids. It was really awesome to provide a lot of opportunities to talk with the parents, talk with the kids, and just really spread the joy of the Lord and the love of Jesus in like a really fun, practical way. And we also handed out a lot of Bibles and literature while we were doing that. So this is more pictures of the beach evangelism than in action. These two had a sign. So a lot of people are very eager to practice the English that they know. So that was a great way to get people to just come up and start conversations with us. The kids loved the costumes. Practical work was another thing that took up a lot of our time when we were at the base. We just had assignments for helping in the kitchen or weeding and stuff like that, doing cleanup around the base just to bless them and kind of help out with our keep while we were there, I guess. This was one really cool story that a lot of us were really excited about. Gabe had the opportunity to share a devotional and really went at his fear of public speaking, so that was one really cool God moment. The sunsets, we got to see the sunset on the beach almost every evening, and it was absolutely gorgeous. Weston's our favorite again. So on Friday night, we had culture night, where we had handed out a bunch of invitations to the community people, and there were other groups from other countries at the base, too. And so each group had a presentation of our country, and we had made chocolate chip cookies for that. We did some decorations. And then this is pictures of the actual night. This is the team that did their DTS in France. They were on outreach with us. They made crepes for us, which was really awesome. This is a team from Denmark. They sang their national anthem, along with other things. This is Alma, so she was our other host. Handing out cookies. And then at the end, there were some Albanian youth there that did a little presentation on Albania as well. And then they taught us some of their traditional wedding dances and stuff like that. Was a lot of fun. There's so much joy. In our presentation, Ryan and some other people did a presentation on spikeball, a demonstration, and then spent a lot of time that evening teaching them spikeball and just hanging out and playing with the other people that were there. And then on Saturday, I think it was mentioned earlier, we went and visited this amphitheater that Paul preached at, and probably a lot of Christians were persecuted or martyred at. So that was really a really cool experience. And then this is on Sunday, we split into two groups. The one group went into the capital, and the other group went to a church more in the country, I believe. We did a skit, did some speaking, some testimony times, and Doug preached the sermon at the church in the Capitol, and then I believe one of our YWAM leaders preached a sermon at the other church. This is Doug speaking with a translator, which was another stretching thing for us. The views there were just gorgeous. We played a lot of spike ball. And then our last day on Monday, they took us out to a pretty nice restaurant at a resort, and it was just a really good time with our team and debriefing a little bit, time to relax. This is a fish that someone ate. And this little girl is one of our YWAM team leaders from England, their daughter Gracie. And then that evening, so this was Monday night, we did beach evangelism one last time. Had a lot of fun. That was definitely a highlight for most of the group, I think I could say. It was a really good time. And then that night we got to go back to the base and have some worship time and a little bit of debriefing with the other teams. And it was really just like a big celebration of what we had seen, what the Lord had done through us and in our team over the entire trip. And then that night, we headed out at 1 o'clock, and we flew back, and now we're back. These last pictures are just some more beautiful views of the country. That's all I have. I think next, some people are going to share some stuff that they specifically learned in the time in Harpenden and in Albania.
All right, good morning, guys. So just a warning before I get started. I tend to spiel at times, so if I get a little bit long-winded, trying to, like, sum up everything that I learned in these 2 weeks into, like, 5 minutes is going to be super hard, but I will do my best to not make you guys all miss lunch or something. So first of all, going into this trip, I was going through some super hard stuff with my family, as you guys know, and it was just a lot of stuff. So basically, going into this trip was a time to get away from all of that, I guess. And then I got there, and they were passing out these t-shirts that said uncertain across, and I was like, great, this is going to be a fun getaway from all of this stuff. And so I started to realize over, like within the first day, this wasn't going to be a getaway. Like, I couldn't just run away from this. I was going to have to deal with it. So the first night, we walked in to the church, and they had it all set up. They had, like, this fog machine going, and they had this cross in the middle. So it was supposed to, like, represent the theme of uncertain, and, like, Jesus is the anchor of the soul when times are uncertain. And I walked in, and we started singing worship songs, and the first one was, "You call me out upon the water, the great unknown where feet may fail," and I was like, nope, not singing that one. The next song was, it talked about how God is good, and he's never going to let us down, and I was like, nope, not singing that one. And it was just like song after song, and I couldn't sing. And worship, or like music, has always kind of been my outlet. No matter what I'm going through, it was always like, I can still worship. But I couldn't that first day, and that was so hard for me. So I was just kind of struggling through that. Then our speaker had a session about he talked about Peter stepping out of the boat and like stepping out in faith. And he asked the question, he was like, how many times are you willing to trust God? How many times? And I realized that I had kind of put a number on God of how many times I would trust him. And I was like, okay, God, I will trust you this long. I will, if three people die, that's okay. I'll still trust you. But if we get to four, I'm done. And I realized that that's not okay. That I can't put a limit on my trust in God. That's not really trust. And so that night, I surrendered to God, and I said, God, I'm going to trust you I'm not going to put a limit on the times I'm going to trust you. And I did that night. And then the next morning I woke up and God was like, Kelsey, do you trust me? And my answer was, not today. And so that was kind of like a daily struggle that I had to go through. Like, I'd wake up in the morning and God would ask me, do you trust me? And my answer was no. By the end of the day, I could get to the point where I could say, yes, God, I trust you. And then I'd wake up the next morning and I couldn't. And it was to the point where I was like, I don't want to go to bed at night because I wake up the next morning and I have to go through this same struggle again. And I don't want to. It's too hard. But through this, like, it's still a struggle. And I don't understand, and I really like to understand. But I'm realizing that it's okay to wrestle with God as long as you're not wrestling against him. And it's okay to come before God and ask the hard questions. And it's okay to come before God and say, God, I can't trust you today. Because God, for some reason, I have this picture in my mind of like, God is someone who you can only come before when you have it all together. And when you feel like you have everything figured out, then you can come before God and say, God, I'm going to worship you. I realize that God wants us to be real. He doesn't just want us when we are like, God, I'll trust you. You're always good. He wants us in the hard times too. Yeah. He wants us to go stand out in the middle of the field and yell at him if that's the way we're feeling. He doesn't want us to put on faces or masks like our one skit was that we did. He doesn't want us to put on these masks before him to like cover up what we're actually feeling. He wants who we are. Like, because that's how he created us to be. And so, yeah, realizing that was like, that was a really big part of my trip. And I'm still figuring it out. And I still wake up some mornings and I'm like, God, I can't trust you today. It's too hard. And God says it was never supposed to be easy. And yeah, I don't know. So the one morning when I got to Albania, I was feeling like, oh, I can't minister. I am too broken. I have nothing to offer people. And so I got to Albania and I was just exhausted and so done. And so I walked in and I sat down in this chair. I was having my devotions and I had like an hour and I sat down in this chair and fell asleep. And I woke up and I had like 15 minutes left and I was like, God, like, I'm so done. And I don't even have the strength to get out of this chair. And God told me, he was like, walk in the opposite spirit. He was like, you feel exhausted. I want to give you joy. And I was like, yes, God. Because I think one thing that the devil really wants to steal from us is our joy. And so I was like, yes, God. And so I jumped out of my chair and I ran down the stairs and I was like, God, give me joy. And so I was like fake happy for like 10 minutes and probably drove everyone crazy. But like seriously 10 minutes later, God met me and he was like, you stepped out in faith. Here's your joy. And it was so huge. Like, I'm figuring out that I am nothing without God. For some reason, I had this idea in the back of my brain that I was kind of a cool person and I kind of had my life together and I knew it was happening, you know. But I'm nothing without God. Like, I literally can't even stand up out of a chair without God. I can't say, God, I trust you without him. I can't say, God, I'm going to surrender my life to you without him. It's not something that I have to do on my own. So yeah, super good. And then quick, cool story about beach evangelism that's sort of related. So the last night, beach evangelism, it was Monday night and we were leaving for the airport like 1 o'clock on Tuesday morning. And I was walking down the beach with some Bibles, handing them out to people and talking to them. It was me and Katie. And we met this couple. Oh, and Kelsey was there too. And we met this couple and we were talking with them for a while. Like, they didn't speak English, but we could kind of communicate with our hands. Basically, me and Katie figured out that their main goal was probably to pair us up with their 35-year-old son, who was a truck driver. anyway, they're like, he's so nice. And then Mardell came walking by with a translator, and we were like, hey, come, help. I think I mouthed to Mardell, I'm like, help me. And we started talking to them, and this lady invited us out for coffee. Like, we had prayed with them, and we were talking to her for a while, and basically found out that she believes in all religions. She believes that all religions are the same. She believes in Allah, but we believe in Jesus. It's fine. It's all God. Like, we all sort of believe the same thing. And so we were talking to her for a while and prayed with her, and then we went out for coffee with her and kept talking. She was going through, she knew her Bible so, so well. She'd, like, go through the Old Testament and, like, tell us about all the different prophets, and she talked to us about Abraham and told us some kind of whacked stories about Abraham, but that's okay. And she, like, went through all the prophets and told us all about them. And we finally got to Jesus, and she believes that Jesus was a great prophet, but she didn't believe that he was the Son of God. And she believed that at the end of the world, like, everyone was going to come before Jesus, and he was going to separate the good and the bad. And I asked her, I was like, do you believe that every knee is going to bow before Jesus? And she said, no, no, because you only bow before God, and Jesus is a prophet. So the end of the conversation, I'm not sure if we actually got anywhere or not, but it was like a 2-hour long conversation about this stuff, and it was crazy. But at the end, she, like, gave us all big hugs, and she was like, next time you come to Albania, come to my house. And was just super friendly. And in the end, like, I'm not sure if it matters that we didn't get anywhere. Like, what matters is we came and we shared Jesus, and that's what we were there to do. And that was so, so powerful. And just through that, I learned that God can use people even when they feel like they're broken and when they feel like they have nothing to offer. So overall, it was a really good trip, but it was really hard. I learned a lot. And thank you guys for your prayers. They meant a lot.
Well, good morning. It's exciting to be back. It feels crazy. Like, last Sunday, I was in Albania, in Tirana, capital, and I was worshiping with a group of people I never met before. And I don't know, it just feels like this whole trip, I don't know, I feel like as a group we have gone through a lot this past half year, I guess, half year. I mean, I don't know, it's been kind of a crazy journey, but it's been really exciting to see how God is working through all that, and, you know, just in my life as well. But the biggest thing I think amazes me is the theme that we had at Harpenden, uncertain, because it feels like it speaks in so many of our lives, and especially in mine. Like, I don't, at the end of this year, I'm like, I work for my dad, but after that, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. I'm planning to quit, and I don't know. I don't know what God has for me. So, I mean, it feels like a lot of relevance was with that theme in my life and where I'm at now, but not just mine. I feel like it was also a youth group, and just looking around at everybody and how it affected them. The teaching was really powerful, and it was. I think it was a way we came together as a group is nothing short of a miracle in a lot of ways. You may be hearing a lot about how we chose to walk in the opposite spirit or stepping under a stretch zone. We as a youth group at the end of training had made a covenant, which basically we all agreed to, and we're going to stand by these standards. And one of them was walking the opposite spirit. Another one was stepping under a stretch zone. And, I mean, we all got stretched. And, I mean, I was one, for me, I was asked to preach in prison through a translator, which was something that I wasn't expecting. I was expecting to share a devotional at the base. And that got changed, which a lot of things got changed. Anyway, and all of a sudden, I was asked, hey, do you want to preach? And I was like, huh. Kind of, not really. But anyway, I just went back to the covenant. I was just thinking through that, and I was thinking, why not? I feel like it's something that God was really just, one thing I really learned is putting my trust back into God. I feel like the last month of my life, it's been easy for me to try to do it on my own. And the trust that I feel like he, like Kelsey was saying, it's easy to trust God in the things you want to trust him in. And when he asks you to trust him and just step out in something you've never done before or something feels scary, it's a lot harder. And just the whole week up leading up to that decision to say yes to I feel like God was asking me to trust him, and I didn't know what it was about. But anyway, I mean, it was it wasn't the most exciting moment in my life, actually, but it was kind of terrifying. And it's not something that I feel like it was a high. It was just, yeah, I did it. It was good. But I feel like the biggest thing that came out is God was asking me to trust him with that. And the fact that I did it and just let it up to God. Speaking through a translator, it's kind of hard. I love to speak with passion, speak from my heart. And it's kind of hard to do that when you have to stop and look at the guy and let him translate and then wait and then try to gather your thoughts together and go again. So, I mean, it was a good experience for me, but it was a hard trip at the same time. But I feel like God, for me, has spoken in a lot of ways. He, like Kelsey was saying, trust. I feel like a lot of things she said I could relate with. But as a group, I enjoy stepping back and looking at what happened with everybody. I'm the guy that likes to step in the corner and just kind of watch people. And just watching you guys, it was pretty amazing. The way you guys stepped out, the way you guys were called, and you guys, a game, you stepped out and through your fear, it's choosing to step out and share that devotional. Just being willing to go the extra mile, step through the fear, step into the stretch zone. It was just a really powerful experience to see how God uses those things. And one thing that I feel like God was really showing me throughout all this is how he wants to use everybody's story. It's something I feel like God's really been saying how he wants to use my story, he wants to use everybody's story. And when you see people through those eyes, you see something completely different. You look past the physical, you look past the success, the failures, you look past all that, and you see something much more powerful and much more beautiful. I think we all have a story to tell. For me, it's something that it's scary to face sometimes, face your own story. But that's something I feel like God was really working in my life, to trust him with my life and to hand everything over to him again. But I know it was definitely something that was a stretching trip. It was a hard trip as a group. But at the same time, to see God work through everything, how he uses each person, orchestrates. And just going back to last Sunday, how God uses... I was at church with people I never met half a year before, a year before. I would never imagine to be there with them that morning. And how God uses everybody here, every story, every little different piece in everybody's life, like Kelsey and your family, how you lost a cousin, the Wilders, the Gingriches. Everybody has a journey here. And he's going to use that, those pieces, though we can't see the future from now on. He uses that, and for me to be reminded of that, to see those pieces put together, I'm sure right now it's hard to imagine what that looks like. But he's going to use those pieces in the lives of other people. I don't know what that looks like, but he will use them. And maybe not in your lifetime, but it's something that God will use for his honor and glory. So just for me, it was a highlight to worship with another church, different language. It was just an amazing experience. Be able to worship with a body, worship the same God, complete different place, different language, different culture. But at the same time, we're serving the same God, and their lives, God's using their lives and their stories for his honor and glory.
Good morning. So, as you saw the pictures, I was dressed up as Elsa, and that was definitely a highlight for me. So the first time when we did it, we went into a hospital, and that was just a lot of fun. This one kid really stuck out to me because he followed us like the whole way around the hospital while he followed Peyton, dressed up as Spider-Man. And then as we were leaving the hospital, we looked back and we looked up on the second floor, and he was out on the balcony like still waving at Peyton. And so that was the first time that we dressed up, and then the second time, and from there on out, we did it on the beach when we evangelized. And I really enjoyed that because we'd be walking along the beach and all these little girls would like come running up to me and Rita and jump into our arms. And then the one night when I was like kind of debriefing with myself, I was thinking about how, you know, so often we're supposed to, or we're called to have that childlike faith. And that, like, when I saw those little girls, like, running up to me, it really showed me that that's how it should be. Like, with our relationship with God, they'd see us, like, way off in the distance, and they'd recognize who we were and, like, run up to us shouting our names. And that actually ties into one of the sessions that we had in Harpenden. As Kelsey said, the one night he talked about Peter walking on the water, and he actually brought a kiddie pool as like an illustration, and he invited each one of us to come up front and step into the kiddie pool and then step back out as like a representation or symbol to symbolize like that we're willing to step out of our boat and our comfort zone and do what God wants us to do. And so that was one thing that just really challenged me on the trip, is just like stepping out into the unknown, into out of that little boat, your comfort zone that you're in. And I'll never forget that experience of stepping into that kiddie pool, even though it was a kiddie pool in like the chapel. I'll always remember that as just a way and like showing God that, yes, I'm willing to step out into whatever he has me to do. And so, yeah, I just want to leave you with that challenge of stepping out of your comfort zone into what God wants you to do. Also, just a little plug for all of you that like ice cream. Albania, like, has really cheap ice cream, and we got it, like, every night. And so, yeah, if you like ice cream, go to Albania.
Hi, my name is Steve. They left me through. My own. I was beginning to wonder if they were going to let me through, but they... She said at one point, it's not looking good. Like, half scared me, and then said, you're going to have to get your travel agent in Golden Rule to issue a new ticket. And it was after hours, but John had connections, and yeah. So I was able to go along. Mardell talked about preaching in prison and not being able to share passion, but you saw his heart this morning. So that's why I bless you. And I got to preach at the other prison, and I came back, and my daughter and I have this thing of puns. I said I got to preach to a captive audience. If you'll hang with us about 20 minutes yet, it's just, I think it's so important for our youth to share what they've learned and what God did in their lives. So if you can hang with us a little bit, I want to share about the evangelism piece. So the first day we were there, we stood in a circle and shared our fears about being on this trip. And a lot of the fears, including some of mine, were so sharing Jesus with people we don't know. And what's that going to be like? Do they have to end, and will you accept Jesus as your Savior? Or like, how do we do this evangelism? And I felt they did so well at breaking it down in bite-sized pieces where we could process it and apply it into our everyday lives. So we're going to do that this morning. We're going to show you what that was like. It's not ramming something down your throat, like I think Kelsey said. It's not ramming it down their throat. It's giving bite-sized pieces and letting them process and chew. And when they're hungry and they want more, you feed them more. And so one of the speakers said, evangelism is not just a way of doing things, but rather it's a question of how big is your heart. So how big is your heart for God's people? And are you willing to be allow God to use you in his story? The thing that impressed me the most probably about this training was that it was evangelism piece, and that we are joining a story that has already been started. This is not about us. This is not about life fellowship. This is not about the whatever ministry you want to name. This is about joining God's story that's already been going on. And so, Ty and Gabe, could you come up here? I want to turn this the other way. You're going to be my blackboard holders, my whiteboard holders. So, just hold it up. So, and I want you to oscillate this so everyone can see it. So, this is God's story, okay? It's going to be typified as a road. This is God's story. from Genesis to Revelations. I'll show that to everybody. So he is building, he is about his story of redeeming God, his people back to him. And all along this story, along this journey, you have Abraham, you have Moses, you have Jonah. Some of them didn't go well, like Jonah. He really found out what it's like to turn against God. And you got the disciples who were called out to follow him. And you have Paul, who was struck down on the road somewhere along this journey and said, "Paul, I want you on my team. I want you to be a part of my story." And so he joined the story that's been started from the beginning, the story of redeeming his people back to himself. And that picture in my mind was just worth a lot to me to see that we are a part of God's story. So you may think evangelism is like some big world mission or being a part of some big thing. But I want you to take away this morning that being a part of evangelism is something you can do every day. I want you to think of it as a highway. On a highway, you have on-ramps and you have off-ramps. And along the way, there's businesses, there's places of business along the way. And so I want you to think about, as they turn, I want you to think about this, like when you became a Christian, God called you to be a part of his story. So you come on the ramp, you become a part of God's story. And God puts his spirit in you. So you are now on the highway. You have a little receptor called the Holy Spirit in you, and he wants to speak to you and direct you on this journey of his story. And keep in mind, it's not about you. It's not about this big you. It's this you who is being directed by God to fulfill God's purpose, to be a part of God's story. And the question is, are you willing to be a part of God's story? One of the things we did in London was, and you probably played the game where you blindfold, you have two teams, you blindfold each other, you try to direct them to a goal. And if you were the one blindfolded, it was hard to hear the voice of your team. And it's so important we learn to know the voice of God speaking to us. And we get to know that by reading his word. And we find out what God's like. We learn to know who God is and what God's like. And that way, when we hear the voice, we know it's the Lord speaking. We can discern from all the other voices. And it's so important that we learn to hear the voice of God in our lives. So being a part of God's story, we're on this big story of God's story for a small period of time. This section is blown up to give you a picture that you are a part of God's story. Every one of you who is a believer is a part of God's story. And he wants to, through the Holy Spirit, direct you to fulfill his purposes in that big story. He may call you to speak a word of encouragement, to lift someone else up on this road. He may ask you to speak a word to someone to confirm what God is doing in their lives. As you're in tune with God's voice, he may ask you to encourage someone in that way to confirm what he's already doing in their lives. Along this highway, there's heartache and brokenness. And he may call you to be part of the rescue squad. This is the rescue squad here. He may call you to be a part of that rescue team. You know, on highways, there's the search and rescue, the fire departments. He may call you to be that search and rescue where you go out and search for the lost and bid them to come in. He may ask you to be a part of the welcome center. You go from state to state, and there's welcome centers. And he may ask you to be part of a welcoming new believers. That may be your gift, that you have a heart for new believers to help them to get established. So God may call you to be a part of the welcome center team. He may call you to be part of the hospital. there's hospitals along the road. And he may ask you to be a part of the hospital where you help fix broken and hurting people. And again, I want to bless the congregation as you have reached out when some of us are gone to the O'Wallers and Gary's and some of the other families that have lost loved ones. So I want to bless you in being that peace. Also along this road, there's filling stations, gas stations, and you may be a part of filling people's and equipping them for the service that God has that's called them to be a part of. And I had another one here. You may be a part of the fitness center of strengthening believers and getting them ready for battle and discipling people. So keep in mind, God has you in this part, in this little section of time, and he wants to use you to be a part of his story. And he directs you through his Holy Spirit, and he wants you to join him. And then one day, when your work is done, you exit off, and God will call you home. And he keeps calling new people to join his story. And it's not about you, it's about him. It's about being part of his story. And just think about that as you go from day to day, that you are a part of his story, and God speaks to you to minister to the needs around you and to be open to being used of God in that way. You may think you're not being worth a whole lot of what you're doing or is making a difference, but one day there was an evangelist who gave a call to the altar call, and a man named Billy Graham responded. He didn't know Billy Graham, but that was part of God's story, that one day Billy Graham was called to follow Jesus. And as we were handing Bibles out, Al kept telling us, he said, you may not know, you'll never know the impact of what you're doing, but you're part of his story. All right, thank you. You can put that down. So they gave us tools of how to share your faith in ways that you're not ramming down their throat. You're making people hungry. You're just bringing up the topic of Christianity and Jesus. And you're just through casual conversation. And so one of the ways they did it was through like a bus stop conversation. You're at a bus stop, you're waiting for the bus, you're just sitting there, and you strike up a conversation with the person beside you. So Amanda and Kirsten, take it away. Amanda's going to be the unbeliever, and Kirsten's going to be the believer. So, here we go.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Where are you going today?
I'm just going to go home.
Oh, okay. Where were you?
I was at the mosque.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to church today.
Cool.
Yeah. So, what do you do on Sundays?
I go to the mosque.
So you're going home today?
Yeah.
Okay.
What are you doing here?
Well, I was at home, and so now I need to get to church, so I had to take the bus because my car wasn't working.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah. So, did you ever go to a church?
No, just the mosque.
I see. Would you ever like to go to a church?
That'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be cool sometime.
What do you do there?
Well, I'm a Christian, and so I go to a Christian church, and we go to church and we worship. We worship Jesus, and we learn more about God. So usually we have a pastor, and he usually preaches to everybody, and then it's just a time of learning and also connecting again with our fellow Christians.
So, like, you have fun and stuff?
Yeah, oh, yeah. But it's not just about having fun. Like, we...
Like, are you free to do stuff?
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, it is nice. So, are you... Are you happy with being a Muslim? Do you?
It's really hard. My dad's really pressuring me and stuff. So.
Wow. Yeah.
I don't get out often.
Mm.
So yeah. I don't know if I'd be allowed to come, but I would really like to. Yeah. It sounds really cool.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to keep in touch. I'll let you know.
What's your name?
Kirsten. And I'm sorry, what's yours?
Abid.
Abid. It's nice to meet you.
Thanks.
Yeah. We'll have to talk some more.
Yeah. Have fun at church.
Thank you. Yeah. I hope you have a good time at home.
A bead. That's a good one. So that's an example of just in a casual conversation, taking someone you don't even know and taking a conversation and just directing it in a way that you can share the love of Jesus. Notice that, and one thing as well that was impressed upon us, that you're a part of the story of God bringing them to Jesus. You may be planting the seed, you may be watering, or you may reap the harvest. But just be open to God where he has you in that journey and what he wants for you in the conversation. Another thing they did was a minute conversation. And one of the things that was in our covenant was to be stretched. And what you guys didn't realize is that you signed the covenant too. And we want you to be stretched as well. So we're going to illustrate how to take a conversation in a minute from chicken nuggets to sharing about some part of God or who God is or bringing Christianity or Jesus into the conversation, okay? So we're going to have two people do that, Ryan Stalsfus, and then Bethany is going to do it, just one at a time. Just Ryan, you come up first. And then, so be thinking, and then we're going to have you guys try this, okay? And what you'll do, you'll take a subject that is of interest to you, say farming, and you're going to talk for a minute about farming, but you're going to end up talking about your testimony of being a believer or bringing God into the picture somehow. So you're going to have two people to watch do it for a minute. They said minutes critical because that's about how much time you would have in a conversation, a casual conversation. So, Ryan, he's going to pick his subject and talk about it for a minute.
All right, so I decided to do Iron Man just because I was Iron Man. And so, someone have a stopwatch? Yummy. So the point was to try to get exactly on a minute. So I'm going to do my best and try to hit right on a minute. All right. So, how many of you know who Iron Man is? Iron Man's a superhero. I don't know much about Iron Man, sorry. But I was Iron Man. And so Iron Man, he's really strong. He has his superpowers. Spider-Man has his superpowers or whatever. Iron Man has his own superpowers. Or, yeah, whatever that is, superpowers. And so, yeah, I just learned recently that about myself, what my superpowers, not superpowers, what's the word? Anyway, superpowers, my superpowers. What my superpowers are. And so I learned that my superpower is being myself. Who I am is my superpower. That's not the right word, but who I am is a superpower. So who Jared is, if Jared's himself, that's his superpower. He's not going to be effective if he's someone else. So my superpower is me being myself. And God created me who I am. So your superpower is who you are. And God created you special, uniquely, and that's your unique superpower. Exactly a minute.
Yay. Okay. So the topic I'm going to do is one of my favorites, coffee. So I know, I'm making it a little too easy on myself, but you ready? So every single morning, without fail, you will see me drinking coffee. I kind of an addict with coffee. Me and my family, we've got a coffee shop. So so on my way to work, 5 seconds in and out, I can barely get through a day if I don't have a cup of coffee. And I like to say that coffee really gets me through my day. But if I'm being truly honest, caffeine doesn't affect me. It's all a mind thing for me. If I'm being truly honest, there's probably one thing that actually truly gets me through my day. For me, it's not just picking up a glass of liquid that supposedly gets me energy. For me, it's whenever I take time out of my day to just be like, God, help me through my day. It's going to be hard for me, but I know that you can give me the strength and the energy I need, and that you're way more important and to me than any glass of coffee could ever be.
102.
Oh.
So the goal is that when you're in conversation with people, like, you can take any subject and direct it through conversation to bringing up your faith and sharing that in some way. So if you're willing, I'd like you to be a part of this. The youth are excited to be to have you be part of their journey. And I think this is part of being part of God's story, is being used by God in moments to share your faith as God directs. So what we're going to do, the youth are going to disperse amongst you guys. I want you to stand up, and the youth are going to disperse, and they're going to be some of your partners. And they're going to go first and pick a subject and talk about it for about a minute and share, take it from whatever to sharing something about their faith or the love of God or bring up God. And then you try to do it back to them. So we're going to do that, and then we'll wrap up. We'll take a couple minutes here. And you pick the subject and go from there. So let's stand up. The youth, I want you to disperse amongst them and be partners for some of these people. And then we'll wrap up on the other side.
All right. If you're still talking, you're over your minute. So can you find your seats again? I know it's getting late, but I really enjoyed what you had to offer us today. And I got a mic here. I want two people to share their minute thing. Can you do it? Maybe it's a youth, maybe it's somebody else.
Real quick.
All right, so Amanda caught up with me, or a Beat, or whatever her name was. And I'll stand up. And so she had me talk about my favorite thing, my favorite sport of golf. And so my thing was, like, when you're golfing, the main goal off the tee is to hit it really far. But my problem is my geometry isn't always correct. And so it goes to the left or to the right. And so without Jesus in our life to keep us on the straight path, to keep our vision good, and to keep us going straight, we will stray to the left or to the right.
You can learn a lot from golf.
I want to hear another youth.
All right. I'll talk a little bit about sports and in general team sports because it's something that means a lot to me. But I play a lot of volleyball, and I do like football a lot. And just like in team sports, you know, if somebody makes a mistake or if I make a mistake, you know, I'm counting on my teammates to, you know, either pick me up or I pick them up and work on reaching the end goal, which is victory. And just like that in my Christian life or my, you know, regular life, I have people around me and a support system and, you know, brothers or even just friendships or family that if I mess up or if they mess up, you know, there's something that they're looking to me to help them along. Or I'm looking for them to pick me up and keep pressing on to what, you know, the end victory is. And that's to, you know, win souls for God and make it to, you know, make it at the end of your life, look back and realize that, you know, you helped each other out and you've reached the final goal.
Cool. I want to share mine yet and we'll close. So my word is wiffle ball. My family loves to play wiffle ball. We play it fairly competitively. We get brush burns on our legs and things like that. We play it so competitively. This year, wiffle ball was a little different at our family gathering. You see, the teams weren't quite the same. We couldn't make them the same this year because Sarah wasn't there. But because of Sarah's testimony and the life that she lived, I'm going to get to see Sarah again someday. And because of her testimony, she has challenged me in ways that I can't even express to you at this point. But I just want you to know, Sarah lived her life without a lot of fear to express who she is as a Christian. And I just want you to know that the God that she served is alive and well. You can take a minute into a really meaningful conversation. Thanks, guys, for being here. I'll ask you to stand for a closing prayer. Lord, thank you for today. I thank you for meeting us where we're at. And I just pray, Lord, as we continue to serve you, I pray that we would not be scared to share our faith. It only takes a minute. And I think about the minutes that are wasted every day or the minutes that I didn't share your name. And I pray, Lord, that you would be strong in our lives and we can make your name something to be worshipped and praised. Thank you for the youth. Thank you for your protection on the trip. And I thank you for just the lessons that you've taught each one of us as they shared this morning. Praise in your name. Amen. You are dismissed. Thanks.
Hey, can I have your attention for a second here? We were in Albania there. We had money is very tight. The base does need some help. Us as a youth group just decided we're going to put a box in the back. If anybody would love to help out, it would be great. I know that a couple of us had talked about it in Albania, and I figured I'd just make an announcement. Anybody feels led to share with the base down there, it would be greatly appreciated by them. Thank you.